came to.
All right, so we're going to take up the rush now on Adi Messiah Karti and Adi Chassima Karti. Be good if we can review quickly the Ran. Ready? Okay. So let's take the rush. So the rush, I'm not going to take the first part of the rush about the Psak in terms of other shtaros. But you guys, I assume you weren't working hard on that. No. Okay, so he quotes the riff. Quotes the whole riff. And then he picks up over here on the next side. Where is it? By the Venir Eli. Okay, good. So don't want to read it? God, were you able? Did you get every? Okay, go ahead. Okay, so the riff, the riff's proof was based on the fact that Rav said the get is puzzle, and the Vlad is a mamzer when it's ksav yad of the sofer and eid echad. Right? Is that right? And the fact, in conjunction with the fact, that Rav holds like Rabbi Elazar, that Adi Messiah Karti. Correct? So the logic of the riff was that those two givens must result in saying that, according to Rabbi Elazar, if you have Adi Chassima, you don't need Adi Messiah. Because if you always have Adi Messiah, then how could the Vlad be a mamzer? Just because there's one aid on the shtar. If there were no aid, then the Vlad would be kasher. So one aid is not going to make it worse, right? That was the result. So he's saying that's no raya. There's no, you can't be medactic from Rav onto Rav. From what Rav said about the Mishnah, that the case in the Mishnah is where there's ksav yad, the case in the Mishnah is ksav yad habal. But if it was ksav yad of the sofer, the Vlad would be a mamzer. You can't be medactic from that statement and put it together with the statement of Rav that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar and come out with that proof about Rabbi Elazar. Is everybody remembering this? Okay. Go ahead.
So he says about ksav sofer aid low.
Good. Okay, good. Right. Now, so when Rav said, because when Rav said what? Ksav Yado Shninu, right, that's the Ksav Yad of the Baal in the Mishnah, then the Vlad would be a Mamzer. That's going on the Mishnah. And that's not Rav's position. That's going on the Mishnah. Right. But the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir.
Right.
Because that was Machlokas Rav and Shmuel over there. So they're talking about Shmuel was Medayik Rav Meir's position from a different Mishnah. But they're arguing about Rav Meir. Right. So there's no, this is not a Raya Libet de Hilchasa, because they're arguing a Libet Rav Meir. Right. So this whole proof falls apart. Because Rav is not talking about the halacha. About the Hilchasa, Rav is talking about the Rebbe Meir. All right, he's going to take up later the question, the obvious question, which is what? A good Talmudist would know this question. Why would Rav and Shmuel argue about something that's not Hilchasa? Okay? That he's going to take up at the end. But right now he's saying that the fact of the matter is, this is not Rav's position. It's Aliba de Rebbe Meir. But we all like Rabbi Elazar. You can't prove what the din is according to Rabbi Elazar from this. Okay, good.
Even though Darim is because of the Kasa, Rabbi Elazar does not have the Kasa as
a right.
Hilchot, Masri of Adi Masira, and therefore he requires Adi Masira.
Good.
When we look at Amar Bold of the Adi Masira card, Mashma Shapriza's totally rock the Adi Masira, Zulasa of Eno get
wrong. Correct. So. He's going with the simple way, with the plain language argument, that since it says everywhere in Shas that Rabbi Elazar's idea is Eidei Mesira Karti, So it's mashma that the krisus is totally in the Eidei Mesira, and without them there's no get. So you can't do a substitution of Eidei Mesira with Eidei Chasima, right? Right. So in other words, because the Rift's question was, the Rift also brought a raya from Tikkun Olam. Because
right.
He says, if you're always going to have to drag in the Eidei Mesira, so then what's the Tikkun of having Eidei Chasima?
Right.
Gam.
What? Oh,
Gam.
Gam.
Okay. Interesting. So what is he saying? He's saying that what? This is where things start getting a little bit conceptually murky. Okay.
He's saying that the Tikkun Olam still works.
The Tikkun Olam works.
Because
Mistama, once we see Eidei Chasima on the get, then that was the Takana. The Takana was, whenever you do a get with Eidei Mesira, also have Eidei Chasima. So now, the fact that I see Eidei Chasima is a raya that there were Eidei Mesira. So that's why that's the Tikkun Olam. I don't have to bring in the Eidei Mesira. As long as I have the Eidei Chasima, and I know that they're kosher Eidim, and it's properly done in terms of Eidei Chasima, then I will know that what we're talina, and we assume that Mistama, it was done properly with Eidei Mesira, because everybody knows, Ein Dover Sheber V'Pochas Mishnayim. So what's a little bit funny now is that you would say that what? That the Rush is saying, what's the Rush's insistence on Eidei Mesira? What's his insistence on Eidei Mesira? Right. So in other words, it's different than the Ran. The Ran was just saying that the Mesira itself needs to be qualified by Edom. So we said as long as the Mesira is begun in front of Edom through the Eidei Chasima, and the get is Nimsa Biyada, so we know that the process that brought it to her had the quality of publicity, because it was begun in public. Okay. But the Rush is insisting not that the Messina is qualified by Edom. He's insisting on what? That the actual transfer has to be in front of Edom, right? So in other words, he's saying you need action. It would seem now, so you need Edus, because Ein Davar She'Be'er Pachas Mishnayim. So you should need Edus to the fact that the Mesira was done. But then he falls back on the fact. Then he falls back on saying, but Lamaisa, we don't really need to know it through Eidus. We can just use an assumption that the Eidim were there.
He's saying you need Eidim Mesira, the Shas, the Sira.
That's right. He says you need the Eidim to witness the transfer. He says, so what are the Eidei Chasima doing? What's the Tikkun Olam of Eidei Chasima? So now you don't know it. So now you don't need Eidei Mesira in court. We can just assume that it was done in front of Eidim. But if the whole point was that you need Eidus that the get was given, right?
Which is
Eidei Mesira.
Okay.
How do you now say it's enough to just assume that it was given in front of Eidim? That's not Eidus anymore. Now you don't have Eidus.
You would never say such a thing in Eidus and based in.
Right.
Assume that there were Eidim. What's the subgenre? Are Eidim Mesira?
Because he's saying there has to be. He's saying that since Rabbi Loza's Shita is that you always need Eidei Mesira,
right.
That's the way he's learning. He's learning it's a Dover Pashut that you always need Eidei Mesira,
right.
According to Rabbi Loza. Because how could you have the get completed and the woman become Muteris without Eidus? So it would seem that he's insisting, not like the Ran. The Ran had seemed to have a more lax idea. That it's not that we have to prove with Adam that she's divorced, but that the event of the get has to have a nature of being public. Right? But by the Rush's insistence that they see the actual Maisa Gittin, it sounds like he's insisting that the divorce be a matter, the divorce itself be a matter of Adas. But then he's saying, but you don't need Adas to find, but you don't really need the Adas to know if she's divorced.
Where does the Tikkun Olam play into according to the Rush?
The Tikkun Olam is that you don't need the Adi Messiah to testify in court to say that they actually saw the get given over.
It's good enough to have the Adi Messiah's signatures.
Why?
Which tells you they were Adi.
Exactly. Exactly. So he's like in a funny position. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. Adas.
No, but that's not Adas. That's not Adas to the Nesina.
No, not Adas to the Adas. It's Adas to the get.
No. He's learning that the Adi Chasima are only functioning as like an indication that it was done properly. That's what he says. Look at his lashon. He says, Elam and Meitikin Olam. Lo ka'omar shalo yiyutzrifin. Like the riff, the Tikkun Olam of the Eidei Chasima doesn't mean that you can forego the Eidei Mesira. Tikkun Olam Hu, what's the Tikkun Olam of having Eidim signing? Sheyiyu gam Eidei Chasima im Eidei Mesira, that you need both. That's the Tikkun Olam. Now, why does that make a Tikkun Olam? So you don't have to bring in the Eidei Mesira. No, you won't have to. Kidei shelo titzorech lachzor achar Eidei Mesira hayom ulamachar. Kishatavia get Laraya. When she brings the get for a raya, you won't have to bring in the Mesira. Why? To kevan she get biyada, the edim chasumim bo. Since the get is in her hand and the edim are signed on it, tolinon demistama behechsher nasa, gam be edim Mesira. So now we just assume that it was done properly. The Eidei Chasima do not make it proper.
Right.
The Eidei Chasima do not make it a proper Mesiras Haget.
Because they're not testifying that they saw Eidei
Mesira. No. Because they're not, that's right. I mean, their Eidus doesn't say anything. Their Eidus doesn't say anything about the Mesira at all.
Right.
But we'll say, Mestama, that if you got it done with Eidei Chasima, you must have gone somewhere that they know what they're doing. And it's a Dava Pashut. That what? How can you just assume because there were Eidei Chasima that they were Eidei Mesira? Because everybody knows that you can't have a Davar She'Be'erva occur without witnesses seeing it, right? Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that it's not possible to give a woman a get and for her to be mutaris l'shuk unless Edom are seeing it. So since we see that it was done with Eidei Chasima, apparently we can assume there were people involved who had some idea, some knowledge of Gittin, right? Because you can't do Gittin unless you know something about Gittin. So then they must have insisted on Eidei Mesira. No, it's just an indication that the process was done by a valid authority, and now we know that, and since it was done by a valid authority, he definitely did Eidei Mesira. So now we know that there were Eidei Mesira. Right? But the point is, what becomes funny is, conceptually difficult, is it would seem that his whole insistence on the Eidei Mesira witnessing the Mesira itself is that you need Eidus to the Maisa Gittin. But then he says, you need them to see it, but we don't actually need Eidus. We just have an assumption that it would happen. We can just rely on an assumption that it was done in front of them. So it takes away the whole weight of the Edom. The whole weight of the Edom would seem to be their Edus. Yeah, now he goes even further and he says, even according to Rabbi Meir, who says Eidei Chasima Karti, that you need Eidei Chasima, he still holds you need Eidei Mesira. Because it's just not possible for the Rif. The Rush just does not see it possible. Now it has nothing to do with Eidei Mesira Karti. You understand? Now, according to the Rush, it doesn't really have anything to do with Eidei Mesira Karti. Right? Because even if you hold Eidei Chasima Karti, you still need Eidim. Because you just cannot have the effect of Davar She'Be'erva You can't have the effect of something like a get without evidence, without raya. So he says, also, he says, the ain, the ede chasim, oh, good.
Okay, so he says that, the ede chasim, that inan le'idim should ba'a ha'gel yada.
Right. Because he says, simple fact, that the ede chasim are never made on the fact that she actually received the get.
Neither are the assumed ede
masira. Right. So, therefore, he says, even according to Rabbi Meir, you need eight in a sira. That's the sheet of Rabbi Natan. It's not universally held, obviously. A lot of other sheets, most sheets hold the other way. That according to Rabbi Meir, you don't need any eight on the sira. Even Rabbi Natan, you see, so Rabbi Natan is on, I think it's on Daf Dalet. He wasn't 100%, it doesn't seem like the rest of the Bali Tosas agree with him. He says at the bottom, he says, the regular Rabbi Natan Lomar, the Filo Rabbi Meir, is like 4 inches from the bottom. Boy ede eidem b'shas nesinas aget. Dein davar shebeir v'pochas mishnayim. V'chein shtar matana karko, shtar mecher. Shulikin karko. V'ein o l'ray.
Why is it the same thing by shtar matana karko?
So the Rush holds that way. Even according to Rebbe Meir, you need eidem. Yeah. Eide mesira. We can appreciate very time. V'chein mashin lishna del el. Right. Okay, so it's Mashra that still, because it says they went to Medina Zayam. So it's Mashra they were there. Okay. Yeah. So now he says, also going through the Rif, now you have a funny setup. You can say there's an Iker and a Tufil in a Mitzvah Midaraisa. Right. Once you can say it's kasher, why the heck you say one is the ikker? That bothers him. That's what keeps bothering him.
Yeah. Is this a separate question? I said, just repeating the question before. Right,
that he's bothered by the fact that the gear
can be done
without
Edim Shah. Because the way he says it is funny.
Yeah.
The Baal can be mitzavah lichtov halachshav again, and then give it prior. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
Elavadai. Elavadai.
Yeah. So the only machlokas, everyone agrees, you need Edim at the Mesira. The only machlokas is whether you Doresh, how you Doresh the Vechosav. Is the Vechosav meaning Vechosam? You need a Chasim Lishma, but not Ksiv Lishma? Or do you say you need Ksiv Lishma and you don't need Chasima at all? Ela kol tal be'edim Mesira. That's Rabbi Loza. Vim nismim sol v'nei eidem psulin, eina megareshes. Afilu chasum alav eidem ksherim. Yep. So that's his psak. Against the Rif and against them. More like the Gaonim, I guess. Right? The Gaonim that the Rif quoted. Yeah. Alright, then he just takes up some kashas on the Rif and he wants to say that there's a nafgamina even according to us. In the Shita Remeya. That's why they were arguing on him. Okay. So what's the idea over here? What's the idea? What's the machlokas going to the Rif? And what's the difference? What's the Rif's concept over here, as opposed to the way we're learning the Ran and the Rif? Machlokas between the Rush and the Rif. A different focus. Now, as the point is, the first step you have to take over here. Is that what the Rush is saying that Ein Davar She'Be'er Pachas Mishnayim is not really as far from the Ran as it seems. Okay, you must say that it means what? It means that the event of the Gittin must be Bifnei Edim, right? But it doesn't have to be established to us through Edom.
Right.
Okay? I mean, otherwise it's impossible. I mean, because he's saying you can rely, we can rely, if a woman comes to Beis Din with a get and no Edom Asira, and we want to know, well, how do we know you're divorced? So we can rely on an assumption that it was done properly. Right? That it was done bifnei edim. So you see that the value of those edim is not their testimony.
It's to qualify the act.
It's to qualify the act. So it's more similar to the Ran than we first assumed. Right? Yeah. Right, so I mean the Rush is focusing on what? What are you saying? He's focusing on he's focusing on the transformation, right?
Yeah,
what are you saying? He's focusing on the transformation of the woman's chalos from Ashes Ish to Muteris Lashuk.
No,
in other words,
not
on the halachic cause.
Yeah. Not because then there's nothing to do with the fact that they can come back and testify.
Nothing to do with that.
Right. It's just the fact that they made that act a certain quality.
That act has to have right. That act has to have a quality of being public.
Transformation.
That, but conceptually, you see, conceptually, the importance is that, like we were saying, according to the Ran, see, the Ran was not learning Ein Davar She'Be Erva Pachas Mishnayim, meaning that the transformation has to be public. He was learning it to mean that the ikker cause of the krisis has to have the nature of public. The ikker of the cause. Now that's the question. If you remember when we were learning the Ran, we were asking, very nice that the shtar. What do you mean that the edi chasim akarti? That's not true. Until it's given, there's no krisis, right? Until it's given, there's no krisis. That seems to be actually the position of the Rush. That he doesn't mean to say that the mechanisms, the way the Ran is learning is that the mechanism of the krisis has to have a certain quality. Right? The mechanism of the krisis has to have a certain quality. So whatever we consider to be the ikker krisis is going to... Am I saying that right? The ikker krisis is going to have to... So we said, according to the Ran, that was the machlokas. Rabbi Meir held... The ikker krisis is really from the das of the Baal in the concrete form, in writing, right? And then when it's given, it's just his das is being actualized, right? But it harks back to the ksivas hashtar, and that's why the ksivas hashtar has to have that quality, right? But according to the Rebbe Elazar, there is no din of the concrete das in the shtar. It's a din of the message, of the delivery of the message, of the transmittal of the message. So that has a beginning and an end. So it's true, l'chatchila, it's better to be at the end because that really we have to, do we ever answer that, why that's better, l'chatchila? Why it's better l'chatchila? Does he say in the end? I thought he said something in the very end. All right, we'll have to come back to it. But as long as one part of it is done, then the whole thing is considered public. As long as the beginning of the Mesira is b'fayasya, and we know it was completed, then the whole thing has that quality. But the Rush is learning, the Rush is saying, that's not Ein Davar She'Be Erva Pachas Mishnayim. It doesn't mean that the... It doesn't mean that the mechanisms have to have that quality. It means that the transformation has to be the event of the gittin hasn't take place until the chalos of Eishas Ish is gone. That event has to be b'far Hasya. Right? Now, is he saying that even according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that the cheftza of the get requires edim, right? So you seem to agree that it is a cheftza of his das, right? And it does, and that still requires edus to produce that entity. But he's saying that's not going to remove the requirement, the general requirement, that, I mean, it's interesting how the Rosh has both. It's interesting how the Rosh has both. Oh, that's not going to remove the general requirement that a woman can't go from being an Ashes Ish to a Muteris Lashuk privately. He says it a few times. He says that by the Tikkun Olam, right? It's a Tikkun Olam. He says, why? He says, Talin on the Mistama Behechshanasa Gam Be'edim Mesir. Da kol Yodim de Ein Davashe Be'erva Pachas Mishnayim. The Efshel Lahatir Eishnas Ish Im Lo Nimsa Lo Aget Befne Shnayim Latir Lashuk. But you don't need those Shnayim to testify that it occurred. Right. Right. No, it's true. It's a good point that we're not sure exactly what the quality of the Eidim is giving it. What exactly the quality Adis gives it. Now, as it could be that it, that it's, I'm saying the quality of Adis is that it's provable in the eyes of Halacha. That's what Adis does. Adis makes it provable. And that's the ultimate publicity. That it's, certain things might be known in a common way, but we wouldn't accept it as a Halachic fact. Right? So the ultimate publicity is that it's verifiable to everybody, and that's Adis required. That's only something that Adis can do. But that's in terms of the hechsher of it's like Eidei Kiyum, right? What do you mean by Eidei Kiyum, right? Eidei Kiyum means that it's done in front of them. That's Mekayim the Maisa. That gives the Maisa a certain quality. But the Eidei Kiyum are not really different than Eidei Raya. The Eidei Kiyum is because they could be made. It's not a different type of Eidus. It's not a different type of Eidim. There aren't Eidei Kiyum. We don't say Eidei Kiyum don't have to be Kusher Eidim. Right? They still have to be the same Eidim as Eidei Raya. Because that is the Kiyum. The Kiyum is that it's now provable. But not provable because we need to know it via proof. Right? Provable because what? Because we need.
We use the Eidei Kiyum and Eidei Raya differently, even though it's the same idea of Eidei. I mean, Eidei Raya we use for Raya, and Eidei Kiyum gives it a quality, but both those stem from the fact that they're able to prove that Eidei are the means of proving the fact.
Right, right. In other words, let's put it this way. It's not that we don't know if a thing happened without Adam. Let's put it differently. In other words, if you're going to say we don't know that a thing happened without Adam, then you're in trouble. Right? Because then how can you rely on the Mistama? Right? In other words, that's the difficulty in the Rush. If you're going to say that you need Adam because we don't know if a thing happened without Adam, right? So then how can you say that we know it happened in front of Eidei Mesira because they're Eidei Chasima? They're not made on that fact. Right? That's the conundrum that we're in. If you're going to say that we don't know anything without Eidim, then the whole thing falls apart. Right? If you're going to say we don't know anything without Eidim, the whole thing falls apart. Because he's saying we do know that it was done in front of Eidim. Now we know it was done in front of Eidim. So now I'll ask you this. If we can know things without Adam, right, so what do we need the Adam there for at all? We'll just know that the get was given. Right? With even without the Adam Sira. Right? Isn't that a conundrum? You can't say we need the Adam there so that we can know if it was done. Because then he's saying the only way to know things is through Adam. But then he's saying, but we know it was done properly through a Mistama. So then just get rid of the whole Adam and say, we know it was done through a Mistama. And what do we need Adam for? Right? That's why he has to rely on the Gzeres HaKasav. Ein Davar She'er Be'er V'Pachas Mishnayim. Right? He's saying, that's a din. That's halacha. Anything that's a Davar She'er Be'er cannot be done Pachas Mishnayim. Not because we don't know, not because we can't know things without Adis. There are other ways, there are chazakas, there are other ways that we can rely on and say we know things. But he's saying, but that's a din. Ein davashe be'erva pachas mishnayim. Right? That's a din. So he's saying that's a quality of the Maisa. Any Maisa that's a Dover, that's considered Dover Sheba Erva has to be Bifnei Edim. That's just a din in the Maisa. Okay? Now you could speculate why it has to be that way. That would be like a Tom question. Could be to make sure that they have the right kavana when they do it. And they're not just joking around. Like the Gemara says, if you see somebody in the street and you say to him that, hey, you owe me money, and he doesn't say no, so you can't bring him into court and say, shtika koda. And generally we say if you accuse somebody in a monetary sense and he doesn't deny it, he is admitting to it. But if you meet the guy in the shuk and you accuse him, even if he says, yeah, it's nothing, because he can say, Mishata anibach. I was in a rush. I had to get to work, and you were delaying me. I just said something, so you stopped nudging me. Right? But if it's in front of Beis Din, that type of an argument doesn't hold. So it shows the, what they call the solemnity of what you're doing. Right? Could be that that's why you need Davar Sheba Erva. It could be that's why. Right? Could be that's the way the rush is learning. Ein Davar Sheba Erva Mishnayim. Because of it qualifies the nature of the act. It gives the act a certain stamp. And that's why it would have to be on the final conclusion. The act that really culminates is the culminating act of the whole thing. Right? That's why he says it can't be that the maisa that actually creates the chalos, the change of the chalos, is not done bifnei edim. Because that, we have to know that the maisa was done in a certain mindset, let's say. Okay? But to know that the whole thing occurred, we don't need edus. You understand? We don't need edus to know that it occurred. That we can rely on a mistama. Yeah, mistama, since it was done properly with the edi chasima, like the tikkun chachamim, and we know the rest of it was done properly. Right? But now we know. That was the mistama is now on the whole event of the thing in front of the Edom. Right? The thing in front of the Edom. But that's the tikkun olam. So he says, even according to Rabbi Meir, it doesn't make sense to say that there's no need for the Edom that actually are at the culmination. Right? Because it's true, Rabbi Meir might hold that the ksiva needs chasima lishma. But since the giving of the get is what really changes the chalos, we have to make sure that maisa was done properly, with the proper kavan and the proper mindset.
Right.
It could be that's the machlok between the Ran and the Rush. What does it mean? Ein davar sheba erva v'chach mishnayim. Doesn't mean it has to have a public quality. So then you can qualify the whole mesira through the beginning, right? As opposed to the Rush, you have to make sure that the effect was brought about with the proper kavana. So unless they're edim at the last minute, you're never sure what the last minute was. Unless they're there at the point of the creation, that's really the only important point. It doesn't matter what the guy was thinking before. The first one. No, I'm going to make it clear. I'm retracting the first approach in the Rush. That it's not a matter of being provable. It's not a matter of being provable. Because you can't say it's a matter of being provable, because then that would mean that you can't prove anything without Edus. But yet we're proving that it's provable. Now we're doing that without Edus. Right? But you could still say it has a quality of public. I'm not saying that's not possible. By Lashon Hara, you'll say any three people knowing it is public. Why? Because they're going to just say the rumor. So that means the rumor, even if it's not true, doesn't matter. Whereas for you to say these words, you know for sure that once three people know it, it'll get around anyway. You understand? But it's not important whether it's true or not. You understand what I'm saying? Because you're not adding anything by saying it. You understand? But in terms of knowing whether something is true, when I say that the truth of the matter has to be public, then you'll say you need edim. Because if at the source you have unreliable sources, so it's true there'll be a rumor going around that she got divorced, but that won't be considered a public fact. The rumor will be a public fact, but not the reality a public fact. Whereas by Lashon Hara, it's not a matter of the reality being a public fact, it's a matter of the rumor being a public fact.
I mean, they're all agreeing.
In other words, what's difficult is according to the way we're learning the Ran. So we had an explanation of why Edei Chasima, why Rav Meir is learning V'chosav as V'chosam, because we're saying he learns that the Iker is the Das of the Baal and the Shtar, right? And therefore, that's the Iker, so that must be qualified by Edim, so that turns into a Chasima, right? But the Rush is saying that what? Even if that were the Iker according to Reb Meir, but the only reason why you need Edim, it would seem you still only should need Edim at the end, right? It would seem you should only need Edim at the end. Like, where do you get the Edim on the Ksiva, on the Chasima for Reb Meir? It's true that the Ksiva is very important. Now, if you're going to try to fit it into our old, to the paradigm that we have over here, maybe you could. Maybe you say like this, because he does give one little clue in my mind at the very end. He says when he's explaining the difference between Reb Meir and Reb Elazar, he says, Ela de Rebbe Meir Dorish Vichosav Dekro Vichosam Umatzrich Chasima Lishma Avoksiva Lishma Lo Boi. It doesn't require Ksiva Lishma. That's not the part. Rebbe Elazar Boi Ksiva Lishma Velo Matzrich Chasima Klau Ela Hakol Tolei Ve'edei Mesira. In other words, he seems to be saying like this. What does it mean, Hakol Tolei Ve'edei Mesira? As opposed to Rebbe Meir?
He says,
Ela Vadai, Lekuli Alma, Sarach Sheyavo, Haget Liyod de Bifne Edim, Ela, De Rebbe Meir, Darish Vichosav de Kra Vichosam. Everyone agrees you need Edim Mesira. But the difference is that Reb Meir is darshening v'chosav as v'chosam. U'matzrich chasima lishma. Okay, so let's stop there for a minute. Avok siva lishma lo boy. So let's stop there for a minute. So, according to Reb Meir, how many sets of Edim do you need? Two. So obviously, what does that mean? That the Edim are doing two different things. Right, there's two things that you need Edis on. You need Edis on what? On the what? No. On the Ksiva. You need Edis on the Ksav, and you need Edis on the Mesira. Right? And they're broken up by Edi Chasima and Edi Mesira. Okay? Ela v'Rabbi Elazar boy Ksiva l'shma v'lo matzri chasima klal. Ela hakol toloi v'Edi Mesira. What does that mean? What does that imply?
That it's a get. It's made a get.
Close enough. Right. It means to say that Rabbi Elazar also agrees there are two things you need Edis on. But they're all accomplished through the Edim Mesira. In other words, that's the machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Meir says you need the Edim on the Edi Chasima for the Ksav and the Edim Mesira for the Mesira. But according to Rabbi Elazar, everything falls into the Edim Mesira. Everything means more than the Mesira. Right. Hakol means more than the Mesira. Hakol doesn't mean that's all you need. It means everything is done through them. They're working double time. Right? So with that diuk, you could fit it back into what we were saying.
The two processes.
No, you're correct. According to Rabbi Meir, it's the ksav, the get is the concrete das, the shtar, and that has to be, that aspect of it has to be established through Edom. Because every critical element of Dover Sheba Erva has to be established through Edom. That's what it means. Every critical element has to be established through Edom. I know I'm being a little lazy maybe in defining a critical element, but I'm just appealing to everyone's innate sense that critical is very important. Okay, so the critical element has to be through Edom. But, so since it's a two-step process, there's the creation of the Ksav, which is the Ksav as an entity, a record of his Das, and then the Mesira, The chasima will be on the ksav, and the mesira and the edim mesira will be on the mesira. But according to Rav Elazar, the ksiva is just the communication. So he'll agree that that it's enough at the end of the communication, since the communication is a two-step process. The reception will, the edus on the reception will qualify the whole process. So now, at the end, you'll accomplish two things. You'll have the actual Maisa Krisis occurring in front of Edom, and they'll be made through the reception, they'll be made that the message was done, the whole Maisa of the message was done with the mindset of the solemnity of Edom. Now, is that the point I'm trying to make is that according to Rabbi Elazar, it'll go back on the whole process of the production of the get, because the get because the get is the beginning of the Mesira. Whereas according to Rabbi Meir, it's not the beginning of the Mesira, it's a thing in its own right. So the Edom and the Mesira can't qualify can't qualify the Chepta, but if the Nesina is just the completion of the beginning of the Ksiva, then it could be accomplished according to Rabbi Elazar. So it would be like the opposite of the Ran. It's like the flip side of the Ran. Whereas the Ran had the Nesina being qualified by the beginning, he's having the Ksiva being qualified by the end. Right? So the Gemara says what? Kuf Lama Teslam Beis. Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Avin Bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya. Misatev Adam Bekila Ubekas Koseha V'yotze L'Rishus Rav Meshavis V'eino Choshesh. So what does that mean? Misatev Adam Bekila. So Rashi says, Kila is what? Shu Kisadin U'misatev Baderach Malbush. So it's like a sort of a scarf, and they wrap themselves in it. So it's a type of a Malbush. So you have like a scarf that you wrap that you wear, like with like an atifa. And then you have, huh?
Like a turtle?
I guess, I don't know. And then you have, yeah, some sort of hat. And then you have strings that are hanging from this satin. Okay. So now the problem is, the strings are not helping you wear it. The strings are just hanging off. So you don't say, since the strings are not helping you, they're not part of the function of ituf, they're not part of the function of the beged, you don't say they're mamasoi. Right? Lav lo amrinon hach ritzuos lav l'tzorach ituf ninu v'havi masoi, and then you'd be carrying. Hahu shaita she'ein kiskosin asuyan el lintosa ba'ohel, because those are only made stretched out for an ohel. I mean, apparently the ritzuos have another function, right? They're not decorative. They really have another function, and the function is not for when you're wearing it like this, right? If you want to stretch it out, you use that. But now you also use this derech malbush. So those things have nothing to do with the function of Derech Malbush. They're just extra. So you're carrying them around. So you don't say that. You don't say they're carrying them around. What? It's mutter. It's mutter, he says, you're not even choshesh for anything. V'eino choshesh. So the Gemara says, Maishna midrav huna, dam rav huna marav, hayotzi betal shena mitzuyetzes kehilchoslo, bishabes chayev chates. So why is it different than the case of Rav? That Rav Huna said, if someone goes out on Shabbos with a talis that's not properly strung, he's a chayev achatas. Right? So he says the same thing. And Rashi says, V'ilu lo hayasa mitzuyetzes klal lo mechayev. But if it had, if the dalet kanfos, if the beged had no tzitzis at all, you wouldn't be chayev hotzah. That's the implication. So it is a malbush. The tzitzis are, the beged is a malbush. And now it's a masoi to carry the strings. Alma hatzitzios havian lo masoi. Hov einon kimitzvaso. Einon tzrichenlo. Umina beged mamish einon. Dilichashvinu kavosei. Interesting Rashi. So he says that what? So therefore the tzitzis are a masoi. That's why you chayev chatas. So how are they a masoi? Since they're not kimitzvoso, right, it's not done properly, then you don't need them now. There's no need for tzitzis that are not functioning. There's no need for the strings if they're not functioning for the mitzvah. Okay? And they're not really part of the beged, to consider it one entity. What are these? So in other words, the ritzuyos of the kila apparently also are not min habeged, right? Otherwise, it wouldn't be a question. Otherwise, Rashi is saying it wouldn't be chayev at all. There wouldn't be a question, right? And what Rashi is saying is like this: that these two cases, the kila and the beged with the tzitzis, seem to be the same. That's the question, right? So how are they the same? Saying in both cases, the thing itself is a beged.
Right.
Okay. And it has things attached to it. Not part of it, but attached to it. That are not functioning for the beged. So how come by the kila we say it's mutter, and by the tzitzis we say chayev chatas? But everybody would agree, Rashi's saying, that it's only because it's an addition to the beged. If it were of the beged itself, right, say the beged is longer than you need, so that's definitely not a problem. Because you lovesh the whole entity. But he's saying, but over here, apparently from the tzitzis, what do you see? You see that what? That something that's not mina beged, and not functioning, then it becomes a masli. If it's not structurally min ha-beged, you view it as an addition to the beged, and it's not functioning for the beged, then it's a masli. Right? So he says, so the same thing with the kilo. Why don't you say that those extra strings don't function for the wearing, right? And they're not min ha-beged, so it should be a masli. So the Gemara says, tzitzis legabi talus chashivi velo botli. Hani lo chashivi ubotli. Interesting. Now what does that mean? Rashi. So Rashi says, this is the big machlokas. Rashi says, what does it mean that the tzitzis are chashiv? Mishum deshel tchelas hein. Velo botli. V'havi bo masli. So Rashi says, since they're made out of tchelas, which is valuable, it's a valuable material, it's a valuable entity, because dye is expensive. So it's something that you consider chashiv. So therefore, it's not bottle. So therefore, it's not part of the beged, right? It's not part of the beged because it's not kehilchasa. It's not kehilchasa, and it's not functioning at all. But it's chashuv. So therefore, it's a masoi. Chashuv means what? It means not bottle. What he's saying. But if it was something that wasn't chashuv, then we bottle. So the problem is definitely defining the chashiv over here. That's the big problem. What? I mean, that's interesting, right? Even though Rashi says, this is an important thing, that Rashi says that those ritsuos, they do function in another context. If you wanted to, he says, ein kiskosin asuyin el lintosa ba'ohel. So you wanted to stretch it out in an oil. So it's hard to. So what is the definition of Rashi? Can we try to define Rashi here? He says, why are they chashiv? They're chashiv because they're shel tchelas. They're shel tchelas. It's interesting. It's a funny kind of way of looking at things. They're chashiv because they're shel tchelas. But the other ones are just regular string. It's not an important thing. It would seem though that the reason why Rashi says that those strings have another purpose is because he wants to say it's not part of the noy, like we were saying before. It's not part of the design of the malbush per se. It really does have another function, right? Otherwise, like if you have a scarf that we have has fringes at the end, nobody would say there's a chashash on the fringes, and even if they were sewn on, lamaisa, they're really part of the beged. If you look at them closely, But even if they weren't, it would be decorative. But over here, it's not a decorative fringe. It does have a function for another thing. That's what Rashi says.
And if it didn't have a function, what would
you do? He says, She'ain kis kosin asuyin elel and tosa ba'oel. They're made to stretch it out in an oel.
And if that...
But if they didn't have any other function, it would seem that that's just the style of the thing. That's just the style of the thing. But what does it mean? So one way you could look at it is like this: that Rashi is saying that the choshev is a relative thing. Okay, that legabi in terms of the hat, in terms of the kila, the strings are not valuable. But in terms of the compared to the tzitzis, the tcheles has a value. Is that what you're trying to say? In other words, like Rashi said, like this, like, huh? In other words, what's the havamina over here? The havamina was that unless it has a function of the beged, it's a separate entity. Right? In other words, what's the whole question revolving around? The whole question is revolving around whether the thing is part of the beged or not. Right? Is it part of the beged or not? So the havamina was, the question from Tzitzis was that if you have something that is physically separate, right? If you have something that physically is separate and it doesn't function with the beged, right? Then it doesn't have a shame of the beged, right? So then it's just another entity. So now you're wearing the beged and carrying an entity. Right? That was the question from Tzitzis. So the answer is no, it doesn't have to be. And why is that different than the kila? It also is a foreign entity. In terms of Levisha, it's a foreign entity. So what's the answer?
It's not Chasha.
What's the answer? The answer is it could be bottle to the beged. It's considered a bottle to the beged. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? It's considered a bottle to the beged. It doesn't have to have the function of Levisha, right? In other words, you can define that extra as a non-entity compared to the beged. It's not considered like a beged and another thing, right? As the Havamina was, in order to make it not a masoi, it has to have the shame. It itself has to have the shame beged, right? The only way it can have the shame beged is either really being physically a part of the entity of the beged itself, min ha-beged, like a long shirt, right? Or it has function of beged, right? Like it's straps that tie the beged on. Then it has function of the beged. But the Havamina was, if it's not mina beged nor function of the beged, then it's just the davar acher, and it's a masoi, right? But now he's saying like this: that you can have something that's not mina beged and not considered and not function of the beged, but relative to the beged, it's butl. You understand what I'm trying to say? Relative to the beged, it's considered a non-entity. So you don't, when you look at this object, you don't say it's two things. You say it's only beged. Why? Not because the things coming off of it. Why do you disregard those things coming off of it? Why don't you say it's beged plus straps, right? Mm-hmm. Because the things coming off of it. While this is functioning as beged, the things that are coming off of it have no value at all. the things that are coming off of it have no value at all. Right? But what about the tchelas? Why is the tchelas...
I mean, because you're not going to... The fact that the tchelas are valuable also is not significant when it's...
Right, when you're wearing it, you don't care about the tchelas. Yeah, so, I mean, it seems like Rashi's saying that those... The tchelas itself is objectively a valuable thing. The tchelas itself is a valuable thing. There's a chashivas of tchelas without any function.
Like gold.
In other words, this is the way I'm learning this now. I have to think about it. No, it's from the first Rashi where he says Yemisatef bo derech malbush, right, with the kila. And then he says it has the ritzuyos hatluyos bo v'lo amrinon hach ritzuyos lav l'tzorach itef ninu v'avi maso yehu shaita she'en kiskos nasuyin el lintosa bo. In other words, those ritzuyos have a value when you use this object in a certain way. Right? When you want to spread it out in an ohel, then those ritzuyos become important. But while you're wearing it as a beged, the ritzuyos are insignificant. Okay? They're insignificant. So he's saying, while you're wearing them in the Maisa Levisha, they're insignificant. Okay? And they only have a significance as functioning in the other way. Right? They only have a significance when they actually are functioning in the other way. But tcheles has a chashivas no matter what. Now, let me say, this ritzua, the ritzua on the kila, is not a special entity. There's nothing special about it.
You can just use it in a special way.
It only becomes chashiv because of the way it's being used later. But tcheles is a chashiv entity. It's a valuable object. Right. Let me put it this way. If I would have the cheftza, the tcheles has a shame of tcheles no matter what. Right? But those ritzuos that are hanging off the beged, while I'm lovish the beged, have no definition. You understand what I'm saying?
So the
shame. There's a shame of tcheles. There's an entity of tcheles. You can go to the market. What?
The value changes depending on what the really use is. Because if you need a tent, then that is really important. But they would be valuable. But if you just
right. Anything. Right. Now, in terms of levishas habeged, the ritzuos are. If I would say, well, what is this entity? So I say it's a beged, right? It's a beged, and the ritzuos. I don't know. It's difficult. The ritzuos are what? What does it mean? It's bottle to the beged. What do you mean? It's bottle to the beged. What does it mean? They're bottle. I mean. It's not like a bittel by Yaridea. Because if something is nicker, it's never a bottle. I mean, it's not bottle. Not bottle in the kasher sense. So what does it mean it's bottle? It means that it doesn't have any shame. It doesn't have, in other words, that this object is one definition. Beg it. And the shame of beged prevents those things from having their own shame. You understand what I'm trying to say?
What is it? The shame?
Why about a ritzua? Why don't you say it's a ritzua? Why don't you say it's a ritzua? Strap. Now, is he saying that a ritzua is not a ritzua? A shame comes from a function. A ritzua is just a generic object, right?
Yeah.
A ritzua is a generic object. A string. A string is not an entity. Entity would mean that its function is giving a definition, like our tent strap. Right? In other words, ritsua is like raw material. A ritsua is just like raw material.
Yeah.
That's not a shame. Okay? So you're saying now this object is composed of raw material plus shame. Beged is shame. Beged is a shame. And a strap is just, and a hanging strap is not a shame. So in terms of shemos, you only have one chefza. You have beged. You hear what I'm saying? You only have one.
Then how is tchelas?
Oh, but tchelas is more than raw material. You're saying tchelas is already a product. Tchelas is already an entity. I mean, is that difficult to say? Why is tchelas an entity? Like anything, it's also raw material.
I mean, it just happens to be valuable raw material, you could say, right?
Right. Why is that more of a shame than the strap? It doesn't really say why.
Yeah.
I guess because it has a function of its color. I mean, the color gives it a certain type of function, a decorative function. That's what the thing is. It's more than just the strap. Huh? Oh, but over here it's not functioning as a decoration. That's the problem, because the tzitzis aren't kosher. It's not being worn as a tachshit, right?
I would say the may less be worn as a tachshit.
No, it's only a tachshit it's not a tachshit. That's not the way people wear it. So you can't just make a tachshit. You can't say this is how I want to make a tachshit. So chashuv, but it would seem that anything that's attached to the beged, not functioning for the beged according to this definition, and has its own shame, would be a masri. Mustafa, you would. I mean, according to what we're saying, though, a button you would say is chashuv. No?
Well, you just kind of
has its own identity.
I'd say so. Doesn't a button?
I mean, is a button like a ritzua? That's what the question comes down to.
Because
Rashi says the lavan is not the problem. The white straps are the white strings are no problem at all.
They're not
chashuv. They're not chashuv. He's saying
it's just strings.
They're just strings.
You hold that way?
Well, we're learning Rashi. It's the whole machlokes. This is Rashi shita. The strings are just strings. See, that's a Tosis quote from Rabbeinu Chananel the other way. It says that even the white ones would be chashuv, because they're chashuvin heim be'enav shedaito litein betalas tzitzis revius. That since you want to save them and use them because you're going to fix them, so then they're chashuv to you. Hadlo chashivi botli, yeah. But I think Rabbeinu Chananel himself gives a different shot, actually. Even though Tosis quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, he gives a different shot. Yeah, he says. He says Osan chute yatzitzis kevin sheinim mitzuyetzis bedal kanfos shelo. Eina chashuva tzitzis the mitzvah, ukechutin the alma hein chashuvin, vayotzi bochayev chayev chatis, uparkinan tzitzis legabi talis chashivi, velo botli shelev haadam rotsa bikiyuman, ki bedaito sheyisle haravius vil b'shena, avol kuskia legabi kila eino tzorichla, Lohan, Botley. Yeah. He doesn't say it goes to Mitzvah. Okay. He says because the guy wants them there.
By the
Kila?
No, by the Kila. Did you say Kiuman? He desired root to...
The Kiuman, yeah.
That doesn't refer to Mitzvah?
No, he's learning the case. You have three corners with tzitzis, and the fourth corner has no tzitzis. Mm-hmm. So you want those three corners, you want the strings to stay in the three corners, because you want to put the fourth one on. You want to put the fourth one on, huh? See, Rabbeinu Chananel is more like I was trying to say, I think. But he's saying it has to be that... he's saying if in the Levisha, if when you're wearing the Kila, the Ritzuos are a non-entity to the Beged, as a Beged, then they're Batal. But by the Tzitzis, you want them while you're Lovesh.
And you want your Beged to be Mitzuyatis.
You want your Beged to have Kosher Tzitzis. And Kosher Tzitzis needs first to have three corners. So in your Levisha, you want to be carrying around these three. It's a complicated...
Yeah, but what's the difference then between that and something